Alright, we're at day 29 of the I Frankenstein project and writing updates. So I watched it last night. I'm trying to get a different angle on this movie. And there's always a couple things that throw me off. So I don't understand. One thing I don't quite get is the Wexler character. That's the Bill Nighy character. He is evidently like this like Bruce Wayne billionaire type. I think it's like the what? Okay, so there's a castle or whatever. I don't know if that's supposed to be a laboratory or a school or if it's just a big building. I don't know. I believe it's supposed to be a laboratory. Anyway, it's like the Wexler Institute or something. And it's just full of demons. Okay, so first of all, it's full of demons. And I don't understand how there's like two humans that work in the whole thing, which should have been a nice tip off to the humans who don't seem to realize they're in a building full of demons and like haven't noticed for 3 years. 3 years. Come on, guys. I mean, really, they don't like leave the lab or go to the bathroom or like encounter a demon. Like, it seems like they know none of these demons. Who works there? Like, are there a bunch of humans and we're just seeing like the four demons that work there? I don't know. Anyway, so there's a giant, giant castle with like very expensive equipment. So that means that Wexler is very rich. And I was like, fine, maybe he got the castle in, you know, 1581 and just kind of chilled there till 2005. I mean, like, maybe it's his castle and he's always had it and he didn't have to buy the castle, he just had to get the equipment. But, like, okay, how did he get the equipment then? Like, where is he earning money? And my theory, he doesn't have a job. So, I mean, my theory, I guess, is that, like, does he have, like, the money he had in 1581 and it's just accrued massive interest? Or, like, I don't know, were people giving him money? And then I was like, fine, maybe he has one institute. He says he has institutes all over the world. All over the world? What? And then, like, so apparently there's these institutes all over the world, but he spends all of his time at this one in this undisclosed European city. What? And then, like, why would you stay at the one city that, like, has all the gargoyles in it? Because then why don't you just move to, you know, Austin, Texas, where I highly doubt there's any gargoyles? Why don't you just do your stuff there, and then they won't bother you? So, I don't get that whole character. Like, why is he there? And then, second thing, it's in European City number 7, where the demons are. There's the gargoyle castle appears to be, like, across the street. Like, the I Frankenstein guy is not moving super fast, but he gets from the gargoyle castle to the demon place, I don't know, in like a couple minutes walking. So, and then the gargoyles are like, what? They're there? No way. Like, really? No way? Like, you've been there for hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of years. You didn't, like, make a lap around the city. They're in the same city. They're not, like, in dramatically different cities. I mean, come on, really? So that blows my mind. So, like, things like that. Like, why? And then why did Frankenstein come back to the only city he knows demons are in? Why doesn't he go to a nice other city where there are no demons? Like, why do you go back to the same city? And why do you go back to the same city if you don't want to deal with the gargoyles? And you also go to Austin, Texas, and you don't have to deal with anybody. Like, why? I mean, you can walk anywhere, so why don't you walk to Hong Kong or, you know, walk to Alaska or whatever, I don't know, walk anywhere and no one's gonna bother you if you go, like, why are you going back to the only place you know all these people are at? He makes this big huss and fuss, like, leave me alone, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to, like, well then don't go back there. I know that the only reason this all happens is because they all have to be in the same city and they all have to be close to each other, but it doesn't make any sense because why would they all be so close to each other and then not realize each other are there? Because the demons know where the gargoyle castle is and nobody has to tell them, and they don't even fly, and the gargoyles can't fly, and they have, like, no flipping clue that the demon castle is, like, the other giant castle. Like, a huge castle in the city. Like, come on. Really? Come on. Unbelievable. Okay, so anyway, that my low is that that drove me crazy, because I could not figure out for the life of me how these characters were so stupid. Then my high, let's see, my high. I guess I am starting to admire Miranda Otto a little bit more. She's more subtle. I noticed her more in the no talking version of the movie, because she's got, like, her lines aren't stupid. I mean, like, even the commentary doesn't like her lines. They're like, oh, this is so much exposition, but Miranda Otto did a good job with it. So, I mean, even they are, like, admitting that she's got some clunky lines, but she does a good job. I mean, like, she does a good job with the clunky lines, but she's got very subtle facial expressions. She's a helpful, like, in the version where you don't know what's going on, because she translates, like, I don't trust you into a face. Which is impressive. So I'll give her a lot of credit. She's got a good expressive face. Okay, so the riding update. I ended up in the 4-day weekend doing about 28.5, which is not my goal, but it's not that far off from my goal. So, and that was including 2 days where I barely wrote. So yesterday I wrote maybe like 2,000-ish words to get me up to closer to 30. So I'm having fun writing Abby as a evil character. The Jack character more logical, because she's messing with him a lot. So she's kind of like gaslighting him almost. And she's screwing up his medication, and she's messing with him, making him do stuff and not telling him stuff on purpose. And he's not quite figuring it out in his account. So now when we go back, I'll be able to make that more clear, and also when I edit it, I'll make that a bit more obvious. So I realized I could have her, like, since he trusts her with the medication and stuff, that she could be giving him the wrong medication. So I have her not giving him all his pain medication, and then giving him psychiatric drugs instead of the pain drugs. So it's like making him confused, and she's not telling him he shouldn't be moving around, so she's making him feel worse, and she's just keeping things from him, so she's making him worse. So, and they're about to do their interview. So, but she's fun to write in that sense. So I think I want to finish the interview, and then I'm going to reread the whole thing and see if it kind of doesn't feel too weird and fiddle with her at the beginning, to make sure she's a bit sneakier. But I didn't do that much stuff with her at the beginning, so it should be fine. So next step is the interview. So I haven't quite, well, I mean, her ultimate goal at this moment is to have him, like, since her original plan was for him to die at the Oscars, and then she would be, and then, but instead she has her plan B, which is she got a lot of fame, and she's gonna ride this train, and then, get him to kind of be in a place where he gets, like, gonna go out on top kind of thing, but, like, use this to catapult her as well. So she has to, screw with him, but then also make herself look good, and then eventually her and Scott are gonna hatch a big kill Jack plan. But I haven't quite solidified that, because I want to make sure I won't make her too evil too fast, and I want to make sure, like, so I'm gonna kind of, that's kind of my general feeling about it, but I haven't put it in stone yet, because I haven't quite plotted that out yet. So I don't want to stick too hard to it. So okay, that's where we're at right now. That was Monday's watch and writing update. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.